So welcome to Agathos Church. We're a non-denominational Christian church where the Bible comes alive. Amen. And as commissioned believers, we operate in Christ's authority to preach the gospel everywhere, disciple nations, cast out demons, prophesy destiny, and speak with new tongues. Blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, protected from harm, amen, and we lay hands on the sick who then recover. Thank you, Father. Okay, the testimony today is so appropriate. I've told you guys, and if you've been listening, you know that I'm going to be starting to teach on fasting. And the testimony that I received via emails from someone who used to come to church here. Do you guys remember Michelle Avalis? She used to come to church here. She'd often ride with Craig. They'd come together. And so, anyway, Michelle is living out west somewhere. They moved. Her and her husband Jared moved. And amazingly, she's been listening to the sermons this whole time. So out of the blue, I've probably emailed with her a couple other times, but out of the blue, she emailed me when she heard we were going to do fasting because she was so excited for us that we were going to do fasting as a church. Again, it's a voluntary fast. It's a voluntary corporate fast. If one other person fasts with me, it'll be corporate. And I know my wife's fasting with me, so it's corporate. There you have it. You don't have to do anything. But it is an opportunity. I have an opportunity. Okay. So anyway, what we're going to do today is Megan's going to actually read the testimony from Michelle. She said I could share anything from her emails, and it's so good. I want you to hear from her as if she was here giving a testimony about fasting. And I'm going to have Megan read it because then it'll sound much closer to Michelle's voice than me reading it. So come on up, Megs.
Hey, Peter. I've been really enjoying the sermon series you've been doing, and I got really excited when I heard that you were going to fast. Early summer in 2016, shortly after I moved to the Seattle area, God brought many sources, both secular and religious, into my life that talked about the importance and usefulness of fasting. After the fourth or fifth unrelated thing talking about fasting, I decided to try it. Since most churches don't give guidance for fasting, I used the rules for Ramadan and fasted for about 40 days during the day, Monday through Friday, eating and drinking nothing from when I woke up until the sun set. At first, it was really difficult, especially because in Seattle, the days during the summer are super long. Sunrise is 5 or 6, sunset is about 9 or 10. After a few days, my body got more used to it, and it felt more like a spiritual workout. Uncomfortable, but somehow like I was getting stronger. A couple things happened when I fasted. I realized that I had more control over my body than I thought possible. I didn't think I would be able to eat, not eat or drink, and still function, but I did. I felt different, less focused and more reactive, but that opened up opportunities. I began to follow impulses that I normally ignored, like checking on a project at work out of the blue or emailing somebody I don't normally talk to. When I wasn't fasting, I'd ignore this noise, but in my weaker state, I followed them up. It opened up so many opportunities and connections, and I cannot tell you how many times after following one of these nudges, I heard someone say it was perfect timing. It was a constant theme. I began to realize that those nudges were the Holy Spirit, and I started trusting them more. The more I leaned in, the more God delivered. Now I can recognize them better, even when I'm not fasting. It wasn't all rosy, though. Temptations started coming hard and fast. There's never so much delicious free food and snacks as when I'm fasting. So many birthday cakes and surprise catered meals I had to skip. People literally trying to give me free, expensive, fair trade chocolate bars. One tip I learned was to bring Tupperware to work and set aside any free treats for later when my fast was over. It also created a separation from others. When you don't eat, people wonder why. I had to decide whether to hide it or not. For those I had a good rapport with, like coworkers I eat with regularly, I just told them. I said I was trying out fasting, and I was surprised by people's reactions. They were curious and supportive, asking about the rules and my experience, but in no way judging or critical. That also helped with temptation. They knew not to offer me treats for a while. It was almost like I had told them I was going vegan for a bit. I didn't realize it, but fasting is actually a growing trend in the secular world for health. There's a lot of research coming out about how it might jumpstart rejuvenation of cells and improve health. My husband was actually the most skeptical. He felt that fasting was pointless. To make it easier for us, I only fasted during the week since I was at work and ate normally on the weekends when we'd be eating together. This helped make it sustainable for the full amount of time. Since then, my church also started preaching about fasting as part of going through a book of the Bible that mentioned it. My pastor thought about skipping it since it's less popular even than tithing messages. But he went for it and challenged the church to fast with him every Thursday. I think that was last year, and I've been doing that most Thursdays since then. I truly believe that the ancient practices had a practical utility, and I think we've gotten away from some of those, thinking we've outgrown it. But that's not true. I believe that fasting has amplified my sensing of the Spirit and has made my times of praying in the Spirit more fruitful. Since fasting, I've had exponential growth and abundance, gaining more confidence both in my spiritual life and my professional life. I've made fasting a regular part of my Christian practice now, and since fasting during the last year or so, I feel like my prayer time has been much more powerful. Four people I've been praying for got jobs that took them to the next level in their careers. After a rough transition last year, Jared and I experienced renewal in our marriage. We decided this was our best year so far, and we'll be celebrating our 10th anniversary this summer. He has also become much more open to God and recently started reading through an in-depth commentary on the book of Matthew that he checked out from the library with no prompting from me. Let me know if you have any questions, but I just wanted to let you know the path you're on is a good one.
Wasn't it wonderful to receive that testimony via email? I thought, boy, it's so good. I just thought you guys could hear her process with it because it was new to her recently. Here's some of the breakthroughs that she had, and then also just her encouragement to us saying, this is good. And I know that many of you guys have fasted before. And I know that maybe many of you have not really fasted before. And so I'm basically going to teach on fasting for 2 weeks. Keep in mind, because of the odd schedule, we're back here again next week for the first Sunday in January, and then we'll be back in the regular rotation from there. And so we'll be back here next week for the first Sunday in January. So this is a fasting week, teaching-wise. Next week will be fasting as well, and that's pretty much it. And I've got a lot of scriptures on fasting, but I'm not going to share a lot of them with you today. I mean, I'll have many today, but we're going to really dig into it like Bible study format next time and in the house church after that. I felt impressed. I want to kind of define some of the why of fasting, some of the what is fasting, and some of the what to expect when you are fasting, and some practicals today. Because if you haven't fasted much, I know that if we could go through as many scriptures as we want to, but you might be shutting down thinking, what are you talking about? This is not something that I'm going to participate in. Like I said, it's voluntary. We already have a corporate fast arranged. Me and Megan, it's corporate, okay? But I've been praying, I've been saying, Lord, if this is from you that I'm calling a corporate fast, I pray that you would lay it on people's hearts. So it's not going to be a strong arm for me. It's just going to be if the Holy Spirit is leading you as well, okay? So let me talk a little bit, I'll pray, and then we'll talk a little bit about the why of fasting. We'll just take it bit by bit. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask for your blessing over this. Again, Father, if this message on fasting and this call for fasting at the start of this year is from you, Holy Spirit, breathe on it now in Jesus' name. Prepare every ear, prepare every heart, Father. You would anoint my words, Father, in Jesus' name, that I'd speak with your heart and in your ways. Amen. Okay, guys, this is crazy, but I'm ecstatic about fasting. That's not normal. I don't dream about fasting. I don't think anybody dreams about fasting. Mark Crawford, I love what he says. He says, fasting's misnamed. It ought to be called slowing. It never seems to go fast. fasting is not something, I love that Michelle said. She said, it's less popular than teaching on tithing. I don't know if that's true, but you get the idea. People don't want to hear about fasting. But start with me in Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18. Matthew 6, 16 to 18. We'll read that together. So like I said, next week and the week after, we've got tons of examples from Scripture about fasting, probably 25 or more stories that we'll start to dig into together, which will be real good. It'll build our faith, hearing these testimonies from the Word of God about fasting. Today, I'm just going to kind of intro it a little bit. So Jesus said, "Moreover," this is the Sermon on the Mount, "when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they might appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head with oil, or anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So, lots we can learn about fasting just from this little passage. Let me first highlight something to you that you could almost skip over. Jesus said, "Moreover, when you fast." Do you see the word he used? When. Do you notice the word he didn't use? If. So you'll notice here, I think in this same section, there's talk about prayer and there's talk about giving. When you pray, when you give, when you fast. So I just want to highlight to you that fasting is inherently part of the Christian life. It's a when, not an if. It's a when, not an if. Now, that alone is enough to motivate me to fast. It's just, he said to pray, so I'll pray. He said to fast, so I'll fast. But I just want to highlight to you, straight out of the gates, in addressing the question right now, just this little part of the sermon, why am I calling this fast? I'm telling you that fasting is a when in the Christian life, not an if. Okay? The next point I want to make from this section of scriptures is, what does it say? It says, basically, he's saying, don't do it outwardly. Fasting is not so you can look pious in front of others. Because to God, that makes you look pathetic in front of others. He's not interested in any of us putting on a show. I think we know that. Now, I will say this. Do you notice that Michelle let her friends she normally eats with know that she's fasting? I want to tell you, don't be crazy, weird, awkward about trying to hide a fast as though you were like a CIA operative that their name was changed. That's odd. What Jesus is saying here, he's not saying if someone knows, then your fasting is of no avail and God won't reward you. He's just saying if the motivation of your heart is for people to know about your fast so that they can think you're pious, then you got your reward because they'll think you're pious and I won't answer your prayer. Okay? So he's saying, if you're fasting for me, fast for me. If you're fasting for more of man's accolades because you seem really religious, do that, but that's the reward you'll get. But if you want the reward that comes from heaven with fasting, fast for me in the secret place and I'll reward you actually openly, God says. Right? What I'm saying is I'm not super awkward about people finding out that I'm fasting. I don't tell anyone that I'm fasting until it's like a situation that I'm at a buffet lunch for a meeting with school and there's people sitting next to me and they're going to start to wonder at the third course why I've not lifted up a fork yet. So it's way easier just at the start when the first thing comes out and you say no thank you to the waiter or whatever, they say, "Oh, don't you like salad? Oh, do you know what? I'm fasting right now." Done. And then I let the conversation just move right on along. I don't want any accolades. I don't even want to answer many questions, although it could be a chance to witness. They say, "Why are you doing that?" You know? And then you tell them, "So that God would actually love me." No. It'd be a chance to witness to them so that they could realize that you're not fasting so that God would love you. You're fasting because God loves you. Okay. Now, the other thing you'll notice in this verse, it's a when, not an if. And then that little teaching on you don't need to be a CIA covert operative. It's just the heart stance is what Jesus is getting at. And then finally, the piece here, God will reward you openly when you fast. Do you see that? Guys, here's the summary of the fasting teaching for the next 2 weeks. It's a when, not an if. It brings a heavenly reward, okay? And later on, I'm going to talk about some practicals with fasting, but it almost could overcomplicate it. It will be helpful to have practicals. Really, it will. So, but what I'm telling you is that it's a when, not an if. It brings a reward. And do you know how you fast? You stop eating. It's that simple. I'm going to give you more practical things, but guys, I'm trying to get at something here. We tend to think things that we don't want to do are a lot more complicated than they actually are. So that we have excuses in our head about actually engaging with the reality of something. I'm saying fasting is a when, not an if. It brings reward, and then the actual doing of it is really easy. You just stop eating. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm just saying that any sort of feeling of like, well, this is like a really difficult thing to wrap my head around. It's not difficult. It's that simple. I'm going to flesh it out so you know it'll help out. But I'm saying it's a very simple practice. Very simple practice. You don't need a PhD. You don't need to be super spiritual to be able to do it. It's a very simple practice. It's nothing new. It's existed all the way back. Okay. So that's the first thing. Matthew 6, 16 to 18. Next one I'd like you to turn to, if you would, is 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 30. So this is where Paul starts foolishly boasting about his ministry. And he's saying, you compelled me to it. So he says, verse 25, three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day. I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst. Now, when I read in hunger and thirst, I'm thinking, oh, that must be fasting. But no, because the next thing it says, in fastings often. So, you know, he's on the ship, and they don't have food on the ship before it shipwrecks. I would consider that the in hungers and thirsts, as in that was not voluntary. It wasn't there. They had to jettison it because the ship in the waves and all that sort of thing, so they didn't have food. In Acts 27, I think it is. And what I'm saying is, after that, here in verse 27, it says, in fastings. So those would have to be voluntary fastings. And so Paul was often in voluntary fastings. In fact, when he got saved at first, remember Paul gets saved? The light from heaven, Jesus speaks to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You know, who is it, Lord? And he says, why are you kicking against the goads? Right? As in God's hand had been on Saul to say, repent, come on, you know I'm God. You know, so God had been talking to Saul. Saul gets saved, blinded by the light, right? He gets blinded by the light, and as Saul then does, until Ananias comes, 3 days, Saul doesn't eat or drink. Acts 9, I think it says that. 3 days. So he actually got saved and then fasted. And then Ananias comes, he gets healed of blindness and baptized in the Holy Spirit. So what I'm saying is that fasting, not only did Jesus say it's a when, not an if, but Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the books in the New Testament, said that he was in fastings often. It was a lifestyle to him. Good? Boy, this is about as fun to teach as tithing, guys. You ain't excited yet, I guess. No, I know some people are excited. They're just being quiet. Okay, now, thank you. Praise God. All right, so here's what I'm saying. Why am I talking about fasting? First point, it's a lifestyle. It's part of the Christian lifestyle. So this is an always in-season message, is what I'm trying to say. Secondly, we are at a gathering, Megan and I, and I told you that we ended up sitting next to Lou Engel. Oh, no, I left it on my at home. We ended up sitting next to Lou Engel, who has a ministry called The Call, and he specifically gave me his new book. Now, he could have given that to many people, maybe gave it to a few other people that night, but he specifically said, here, this is for you. And his book is called The Jesus Fast, right? And so Lou is a major leader in the body of Christ, and here he gives me this book called The Jesus Fast. This is on a Monday night. That night, I get home, and I'm praying before the Lord. And I hear the Lord say, fast 3 days. And it's like, shoot. And I was going to be in San Antonio a few days later, and he said, break your fast in San Antonio. In other words, don't eat between now and Texas. I'm like, okay. So here's the thought that went through my head, and I'm challenging you guys a little bit. Like earlier when I said, guys, it's really this simple, you just stop eating. I'm trying to take away excuses a little bit because that's what I do with myself. It helps me out. Here, Lou gave me this book. He's a major leader in the body of Christ, and he's in, and he happens to give me this book. And the question is, do I think there's something to it or not? Because that's what it's at stake right there. I got this book, and here I'm praying to the Lord, and he says, fast 3 days. And the question is, basically, so now Lou gave me a book about fasting, and God says, fast 3 days. So the question is, do I believe that this is God, or do I not? And this is the sort of pressure I'll put on myself sometimes. It actually, I like doing this to myself. It doesn't feel heavy. It's just, I have to decide, do I have faith or not? It's kind of what I'm asking myself. And right there, I was like, look, I think that this was not a coincidence. We ended up sitting next to Lou at this gathering out of all the people that were there, and that then he gave me this book. And, you know, so I'm going to act on it. And I think I just heard the Lord to say fast. So I fasted. That's Monday night. Tuesday night, remember the word from my former student, Trayvon? A day later, Trayvon sends that word. And at the end of the word, he says, for you have asked, and I have answered, says the Lord, and I have come, says the Lord, and now I'm going to pour out, receive. I'm butchering the word a little bit, but that's the whole thing. So I get this word, and I'm thinking, I asked the Lord on the flight back from San Antonio, God, when did I specifically ask? Because he said, you have asked, and I have come, receive. And this is about for our body, right? About the outpouring of God in this body. And it was the word where he was saying, I see the word impartation over you guys and all this sort of thing. I said, God, when did I ask? And God said, God, this is what God told me in the plane ride home. He said, I heard your fast. I said, God, when did I ask? And he said, I heard your fast. God hears your prayers, but sometimes he hears your fast. Sometimes he hears your fast. When you fast, you instantaneously mix faith into your prayer. Watch it. Faith, James says, you'll see my faith by my actions. How many of us have prayed something, and you wonder, do I have faith for the thing that I'm praying for? I haven't seen it come to pass yet. If I have faith as a mustard seed, the mountains would move, so I figure that thing would come to pass too. Maybe I'm out of season, but why hasn't it come to pass? And I'm saying, have you fasted? Have you fasted? There's a story in Judges. Turn with me to Judges. This is really strong. Judges 20, verses 18 to 48. We won't read it all because that'll take us too long. Judges 20, 18 to 48. Right after Joshua. Okay. I was reading this recently. Oh, this is what happened. The kids' ears. The Benjaminites had really terribly murdered someone. You can read the start of chapter 20 to get that. It was super heinous. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah within Israel. So that's what happens. And now Israel is asking the Lord, should we go up against the Benjaminites, right? And here's what God says. He says, attack them. Like, go to war against the Benjaminites. And you'll see this, verses 18 to 48. Do you know what happens when they followed the word of the Lord? They got their butts handed to them. The Israelites had like tens of thousands die. God said attack them, and they died. And then they came back to God and said, God, what should we do? And he said, attack them. And do you know what happened? The same thing. They went up and attacked the Benjaminites, and they got their butts handed to them again, and tens of thousands, I think, died again. Next time, they go ask God, God, what should we do? Attack them. Do you know what they do this time? They fast for a whole day. Until that evening, I think it says. I'm doing it from memory. They fast the whole day. Do you know what happens now? Victory. They had the word of the Lord. They hadn't fasted. They had the word of the Lord. They hadn't fasted. The victory came through fasting. How many of us have a word from the Lord in our life that we've not seen come to pass? We've even believed for it, even maybe acted on it, but it's never come to pass in our life. And my question is, have you fasted for it? Because when you fast, it puts action behind your prayers. In other words, it puts faith behind your prayers. It's near impossible to fast and pray about something, and with the fasting, not to add faith into the prayer. Do you see what I'm saying? I can pray sort of, because here's the thing. I've been wanting revival in our region. I mean, what God-fearing Christian wouldn't want revival, you know? And I was telling you that kind of does just look like the normal Christian life you see in Acts, but I'm saying it's the sort of thing that turns the world upside down for Christ. that stops the town when Jesus comes in or when Paul comes in or wherever, and it stops the town. And that's happened many times since Paul. Charles Finney used to come into towns and entire factories would have to shut down because when he showed up, the whole factory was getting saved and a revival would break out in the factory he walked into. Like, could you imagine if that was so on you that you figured you better not walk into the Delphi plant because the GM cars might get backlogged because as soon as you walk in there, revival's likely to break out? I think it was him that if he knocked on two doors in a row and someone didn't get saved, then he went and fasted and prayed in the woods for a few days because he knew something was off, because he knew that when he was right and in the flow, people would get saved all the time. Isn't that awesome? And so what I'm saying is, this is what I've been seeking, but two things happen. I'm going to be real plain with you guys. Again, don't let your right hand see what the left hand is doing, but I also need to be instructive with you guys. What's interesting is two things started to happen. We went to Voice of the Apostles, and while at Voice of the Apostles, I'm just there to just enjoy and whatever, but the Lord put something on my heart. He said, we're believing for sustained revival, Megan and I. And so what we did is we gave into some opportunities that's sustained revival soil. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm saying, again, I can pray for revival, but have I put my money where my mouth is? I'm preaching, man. This is good. You might not like it, but it's good. I'm putting my money where my mouth is because as soon as you put your money somewhere, your faith got somewhere. You can say, I serve God, but God says, if your money doesn't serve me, then you don't. And so if you put your money where your mouth is, it's a way to activate your faith. You're saying, I inherently, to actually put this in here, I can't just sort of think a thing. I can't just sort of pray a thing. I can't just sort of wag my lips about something. I actually have to be deciding that I'm having faith for this. So we sow into this sort of revival soil, right? Sustained revival soil. Then we come back, and then the Lord tells me, fast. And it's like, oh. So we fast. Then we get that word about sustained revival here. And that Trayvon, even you was using that language. You said it's going to be God's outpouring. It's not going to be a fad. This is going to be a very lasting thing. It's exactly what we're asking for, right? I haven't talked with him in probably 3 years, 2-3 years. So he shares all of that. And I asked God, when did you hear? Because it said, you asked, I've come, now receive. And I said, God, when did you hear? And he said, I heard your fast. So what I'm saying is fasting, like giving, puts faith behind your prayer. Okay. So I believe the Lord's led me to fast that thing with Lou Engel, and then I started feeling like, actually, I feel like we're supposed to do something corporately, and just so you guys know, I didn't just kind of haul off and, ready, fire, aim sort of thing on that. I kept it before God for a couple weeks or a month or so, not even thinking about it much, and what happened was it got bigger in my heart, and it's bigger now than it was then. So this was not like me convincing myself to do something with this like this with you guys. It's like it was growing in my heart. I find that tends to be an evidence of the Holy Spirit. When you're seeking the Lord and something keeps growing in your heart, even though you're not kind of feeding it, that's usually that the Lord's putting something on your heart. Okay. Let me define fasting. So that was why. Let me do a little on what. What is fasting? Here's Peter's definition of fasting, trying to summarize a lot. Fasting is a physical act that is a spiritual tool that sensitizes us to the things of the Spirit. It's a physical act. Remember I said, guys, fasting's real complicated. You stop eating. It's a physical act. It's that simple. Remember tithing, how Brad taught us when you tithe, you cut the roots of mammon out in your life? Guys, when you write a check and your bank account communicates with the church's bank account for the transference of that money based on the check that you wrote for your tithe, it's a physical act. There's nothing more to it, is there? Except that it's incredibly spiritual. Yeah. Fasting is a physical act that's a spiritual tool which sensitizes us to the things of the Spirit. Your entire life is a teeter-totter between the things of the flesh and the things of the Spirit. You are spirit, soul, and body. And so your soul and your flesh want to rule the roost. And as we know, your mind, will, and emotions, your soul, are great servants and terrible masters. And we all know what sort of carnality, the works of the flesh, are evident, right? What sort of carnality happens if you let the flesh lead, okay? So you don't let those things lead, but instead you're renewed, you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? In other words, as you let the Spirit lead in your life, your soul is transformed, and even your body will be transformed because your soul's transformed. And what I'm saying is that fasting, I was realizing, I'm like, man, I as a young believer, this was such an incredible tool. And by the way, I've not outgrown it. But as a young believer, I remember it was, I would fast one day, and you would think that I was sacrificing my right arm permanently to Jesus. I mean, like that part where it says, don't let your face be disfigured, that was like written to me. It's like, I had such a thing with food. Guys, for some of you, this is going to be very challenging, and this is not based on how heavy you are or not. It's based on your relationship with food. So if you, let's say you are anorexic or bulimic or something like that, you need to pray and get counsel maybe from some other brothers and sisters about how to approach fasting. I don't want fasting to cause you a problem, but I believe fasting can be a blessing there. It can be a blessing for anyone. And for others of you, like, I was the sort of person that if I didn't eat when I got up, I would be angry quickly. Right? And so what I'm telling you is that fasting, you'll think you're being... You might be thinking that you're getting delivered if you start to fast, if that's your background. I'm telling you, it will mess with you. But it's really good. It's really good because what it's doing is you're telling your body, you are not in charge here. My spirit is. My Father in heaven told me to fast, and I'm not going to eat. And your body's like, no, we're in charge. And you're saying, nope. I'm in charge. It's literally, it kind of is a little bit like that. But it's really powerful because what it's doing is it's sensitizing you to the things of the Spirit. How does it sensitize you to the things of the Spirit? Because it puts the flesh under your feet. Your flesh is at enmity by nature with the law of God, with the Word of God, with the things of the Spirit. Romans 8. It doesn't want to do the things of the Spirit. So what do? You bring your flesh into subjection as a way of life, not by whipping yourself or putting a 10 or a 1,000-pound cross on your back and walking over a bed of nails, but by doing the thing that God said to do. Fast. It will put your flesh in right position. I look back, I'm like, that was such a huge part of my early discipleship, is that I would fast, which really tweaked me out. But that really helped me. Because again, you can think all day long, I'm serving God, God's in charge of my life. I'm serving God, God's in charge of my life. Hey, why don't we fast? Oh. Oh. What are you talking about? Well, you said God's your supply. Well... I'm just saying it will functionalize the faith that you have. So fasting is powerful. Okay, now, that's good. So what to expect when fasting? Turn with me to Matthew 17:21. Oh, let me say this before I move on. Do you know that, again, this really depends on how you were sort of brought up. For Megan, this is really easy. Like, the thought of fasting to her, I've, like, never seen her be bent out of shape at the thought of fasting. I'm not saying it's maybe not sometimes hard for her, but it's just, like, a natural thing. But your parents fasted, I think. So this was natural for her. She grew up around it, right? Well, what I'm telling you is that I wouldn't be surprised if there's people that would listen to this message online and think that it's near abusive that a pastor could call a corporate fast. Because, and what I'm saying, now some of you think that's funny because you've fasted for years and all that sort of thing. You know the power in fasting. You see it in the Word of God. It's plain and simple to you. And that's the spot that I've come into as well. But what I'm telling you is that if you've grown up with the three square meals a day, don't miss a meal mentality that's real prevalent in America, you could think it's near, like you didn't eat today? I'm telling you, when I fast, sometimes you would think that people call the doctor. You need blood work done. This could be damaging. Are you sure are you safe to drive? I mean, it's that sort of a thing. I'm just telling you, I'm trying to level the playing field here a little bit. I know that could be how some of you are feeling, but let's reason together for just a second. What's the most important physical thing that you need? Air. You last about 3 minutes probably without air, oxygen in particular. What's the next one that you need? Water. Probably water. I don't see an example in Scripture of probably more than 3 days without water. Now you might say, what about Moses? Moses, it says, by the way, when Moses was 40 days on Mount Sinai, it doesn't call it a fast, interestingly. It says that he was without food and water for 40 days. In other words, I don't think God's setting that up as a prototype for fasting. That's from that Franklin Hall book, by the way, Atomic Power for Fasting, written in 1947. Boy, that thing will light you up. That revelation's from him. But so that's a book I'd recommend. Anyway, that was 40 days. He was in the presence of God. Effectively, he was in heaven. He probably stepped out of his body, came back into, I don't know what went on there, but he came down, he shone, right? So this was like a transfigured sort of state that he was in. That's not the prototype for fasting. There are examples of in the Bible, I forget which one, I was reading them all, but 3 days without water. And that's what Lou Engel says, not more than 3 days without water. But what I'm saying is you need air and you need water, and the longest anyone's ever gone without sleep is 10 days. And they nearly died. And yet throughout the Bible, you see 40 days without food. And there's many examples of people going more than that. The longest medically that anyone's ever gone is 4 months. Gunshot wound to the abdomen. The guy went 4 months without food, went from like 160 pounds down to 60 pounds, and eventually died. But he actually went 4 months without food. And so I'm not proposing any of that. I'm just trying to address this three square meals a day thing and the thought that somehow it would be abusive to yourself to miss breakfast or to go without food for a period of time. And I'm just telling you that physiologically, it is food is what you have to pay for. You don't have to pay for air, water, or sleep. And because of that, we don't think of them in the same way. But food is just not that important as a day-to-day thing. Okay. So the first and most important thing I'd encourage you guys in terms of what you can expect in your fasting, Matthew 17:21 says, Jesus said, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Except by prayer and fasting. And Brad did such a great job teaching on this, I'd never realized it before. But he wasn't talking about the demon in particular. More broadly, he was saying this sort of unbelief, if you look at the previous verse, this sort of unbelief doesn't go out except by prayer and fasting. Of course, if the unbelief goes out, the faith can work effectively and demons will leave, but also healing will happen, your destiny will be fulfilled, you'll step into divine opportunities that you're believing for, mountains will be moved if necessary, all that sort of thing. And so what I can tell you is that fasting removes unbelief. Somehow prayer with fasting removes unbelief. Some of these things we don't need to understand the mechanism, we just need to know that Jesus said it, so let's just do it. And so, like I said, there's some things in your life you're going for, but have you fasted in addition to prayed? Okay? So it'll remove. So what you can expect is breakthrough. Now, one of the things that's really important to recognize is that when I was first fasting, I thought breakthroughs were going to come like that day. Remember that when I felt like I was losing an arm to fast for one day, and I would fast, and I would literally try to strong arm God. I'd pray all day and say, God, you're going to answer this prayer. You know, that was the mentality behind it. I'm fasting, by God. Answer now. And I'm just telling you that that's not what you have to do with him. He always wants good things for you. When you choose to fast and pray, just know that you're going to get some breakthrough manifested while you fast. I tend to find like, oh, wow, that prayer got answered right there. God gave me that revelation while I was fasting. Praise God. That's great. Or I prayed for that person. I saw a new level of breakthrough in prayer while I was fasting. Praise God. But I've also noticed a lot of it comes on the back end of it. A lot of it comes on the back end of it. You don't need to worry about God's timing and stuff. Let God be God. You just do the part he said to do. Pray and fast. And he'll take care of the breakthrough. The other thing, too, is that when I first learned about fasting, I think it was planted in my mind that it was going to be very strenuously difficult. That's not totally true. I sometimes am much more effective in my day-to-day walk with, like, business and things even while I'm fasting than when I'm not fasting. Now, if you're a marathon, training for a marathon, I'm sure fasting would disrupt that. But I'm saying that don't expect that just because you're fasting, you're like not going to be functional or you need to lay in bed all day or something like that. I don't want you to have that expectation. Many things you can do much better, I find, while I'm fasting than when I'm not fasting. I'm more sensitive. I hear better. I'm more sensitive. Like Michelle said, the promptings of do this, do that, do that. People saying, wow, that was just the right timing. Why? Because fasting is a physical act that's a spiritual tool that sensitizes you to the things of the Spirit. So the question is, do you think that you will be more effective in your life the more of the Spirit that's moving in your life? Well, of course. So while you're fasting, many things you'll be better at than normal. I will, though, highlight Psalms 109:24. David says, my knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh is feeble from lack of fatness. So there is, any of you who have fasted know this, you can be tired when you're fasting. You can feel a lack of energy when you're fasting. So I'm just saying that's another part of it. I try to give myself grace with that. If I need to take a nap or something or lay down for a little bit, that's fine. Here's what I found mostly, though. Initially, when you start fasting, on a water fast, when you start fasting, you'll notice headaches and things. Do you know why? Your body's ridding itself of toxins. This is a God-given, remember Michelle saying, the secular world's starting to figure out that fasting's a good thing medically. That God, man, he's just so smart. All we got to do is say, okay, that's what we do. But what I'm saying is, initially you'll notice your body will rid itself of toxins. Sometimes you can have headaches and stuff like that. Don't let it bother you. Don't let it bother you. That's actually good. That's getting stuff out of your system. If you drink a lot of coffee like I do, I'm trying to wean off of it already to get ready for the fast. I'd encourage you to do that. You'll notice that's probably the body flushing caffeine and different things out of my system. It's a good thing to have that stuff flushed out of your system. Even the secular world's fasting for the health benefits. What's that? And yes, exactly. You want to drink a lot of water. While I'm at that, let me just highlight, there's a few different types of fast, just to, you know, what are the different types of fast? One would be a total fast, which like I said, is like no food, no water. I wouldn't recommend doing more than probably 2 days with that, even maybe 1 day. Like I said, in the Bible, it's up to 3 days. But I don't have a lot of experience with that, and I tend to think it's better to flush it with water, okay? The other type of fast is only water. That's my favorite. I believe that tends to be the scriptural example, is the only water fast. So that's what I would commend to you. Now, you can also do a partial fast, like Michelle's was a partial fast where she's fasting a certain part of the day and other times she eats and that sort of thing. And some people also do something called a Daniel fast based on Daniel chapter 1, verse 12, where Daniel asked the person who was attending him to only have them eat vegetables for 10 days. And the guy's like, hey, you don't look like you're dying because of it. I'll let you keep eating just vegetables. So sometimes people have a very limited, like no meats, no nuts, those sorts of things. They'll just have vegetables and water. That's called a Daniel fast. All of it's fine. You've got to have peace from God on what he's leading you to do. You got to have peace from God. So there's, you know, you can do any of that. I personally find that a full water fast is the easiest. You know why? Because I don't have to think. I don't have to go buy fancy juices. I don't have to constantly be trying to not crave the juice that I'm supposed to not be craving because I'm supposed to be fasting. And here now juice has become the thing that I'm nursing. I just like water. So here's what I want to encourage you to start doing, and I'll wrap with this. I want to encourage you to pray. Just pray. Ask God what he would have for you to do. I think you'll know that you've got it when you've got two things, peace on it and it feels like a stretch. Peace on it and it feels like a stretch. Remember, this is voluntary. Fasting's a choice. I don't control whether you guys pray or read the word at home, right? We are a voluntary word-reading church. There's spiritual benefits when you read the word on your own, and we all know that, right? And so this is similar. I'm just bringing up fasting, and I feel like there's a nowness to it, and you can engage if you want to. A few other things. So pray and ask God. It's an opportunity. you got to do according to what you have faith for. I'm doing 14 days, not 21 or 40. Megan's like, you could do longer. And I was like, I don't got faith for it. So you got to do what you have faith for, okay? So you'll have peace on it, and you'll feel stretched by it. 14 days feels like a stretch to me. You have to have grace for yourself. If you've never fasted before, you might be able to jump right into a 14-day fast, but you might need to do like a couple shorter fasts within the 14-day period or something like that. So have grace for yourself. Think creatively. If you're pregnant or nursing, you're not allowed to fast. It's a no-no. It can be tough on the baby. It can be tough on nursing, all that sort of stuff. You don't want any of that. Children should not fast generally. I'm just giving you some general guidelines. Remember, Michelle said, there's not a lot of guidelines from the churches. I'm basing most of these off of like Lou Engel, who's led about 1 million people in fasting, so I think he knows what he's doing with it. Children should not fast. If your kids wanted to fast a snack, like no snacks or something like that, obviously that would be fine. But they're growing, so they shouldn't fast. Teenagers, he says, usually can do like, just get away with like juice and protein drinks. That works. Also, if you're under a doctor's care, you need to check with your doctor. I know what the Word of God says, but if they're giving you a specific medicine that has specific interactions with things, you got to check with them. That said, I'd err on the side, if your doctor's like, well, I don't know about that, say, no. Is there a danger to fasting while on this medic? Just have them answer the one question, right? Because some of them might just be scared of fasting in general. You don't care what they think about fasting, just whether the medication you're on, you know, affects it. Okay. You heard about the types of fast. The last thing I'd encourage you to do is to schedule the duration of your fast ahead of time. Fasting for an indeterminate amount of time is no fun. Well, I feel like the Lord's starting to tell me that maybe I should break the fast. Is that you, God? I don't know, babe. I don't know if I'm hearing him correctly. Yeah, you sure ain't. Okay, I'd prep right now, too. You should start weaning from coffee. Like, get off caffeine. You don't want to do a fast on caffeine. And make sure you give yourself time in your schedule during that time frame to pray and things. And then generally they recommend if you're going to do like a water fast like I'm planning to do, and all Lord willing, right? You know, there's no, even if you start a fast, look, I'm your pastor. If I start the fast and some reason I need to break it, I don't need to be all condemned and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Neither do you. But what's that? Yeah, it's not legalism. And you're not earning anything with God. Jesus already gave you it all. But this great tool to sensitize yourself to the Spirit. That's all it is. It's like prayer. It's an opportunity. But what I'm going to tell you is if you're going to do a water fast, you should switch mostly to like vegetables the few days leading up to it. So our plan is to start the fast next Sunday, the 6th, for those that want to. And again, you could do little fasts within this pocket or fast lunch each day within this pocket or whatever that you feel led to do. You will notice tremendous reward. It's a when, not an if. And Jesus says you'll receive reward openly from your Father in heaven. Amen. All right, that's all for today, and we'll jump into a lot of scriptures next week about examples of fasting, which will stir your faith specifically. All right, email me if you have any questions in the meantime about fasting. There's also a lot here who have fasted a lot before, so feel free to ask people with a lot of experience to get up to speed. Father, in Jesus' name, pray your blessing over this, and I pray your blessing over each person here. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would stir the giftings, callings, and destinies that you're specifically bringing forth in 2018 for each person here and for our church. And I pray, Father, that you would bring the fast in individually and corporately to bring those about in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys and Happy New Year. Bye.